It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Love your ride.
Even got started. Good morning. This is Neva Pyatt. This is the Hour of Power. I'm your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, doing her cheers, and she hadn't turned any cartwheels yet, but I'm expecting her to in just a minute. Our guest this morning, Jason Wilhelm. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Neva. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. We missed you last month, but I know you were getting a new grandbaby boy.
Oh, yeah. Awesome gift.
Awesome gift. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page. About halfway through the program, we will stop and pray for your needs. You can also send it to our email, hourofpower32@cable1.net. We are sponsored today by Grants Auction and Realty. They've been one of our sponsors throughout the whole time that we've been doing the Hour of Power, which has been, I think, 16 years, Jason. Faithful sponsors.
Good folks.
Yes. We do record in two parts, and after the program's over, we'll have it posted on our website, which is therockchristianmusic.com. Got a little thing in my throat. If you don't have, if you know someone who doesn't have Facebook and you want to send them there, they need to go to therockchristianmusic.com, click on Hour of Power, and then click on Monday, or if there's another day that you know was really excellent you thought they would like to listen to, just have them click on the day that they missed. I think I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are, God, as we've already said this morning. God, you are sovereign. We praise you, Lord, that you're all-powerful. Father, that you hold all things in your hands. Lord, you've declared in your word that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, God, that all creation is created to praise you, Lord. So, Father God, we exalt you in this place this morning. Father, we open our lives to you. We say yes and amen to your will and your plan. Whatever it is that you want to do, whatever it is that you want to say, whatever it is that you're up to today, God, we're in. So, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill us and breathe on us, change us forever in the breath of your presence this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I got my tablet, got my notebook.
You ready to rock and roll?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, we have been in our house, for the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about kingdom dynamics. And I don't know how long that's gonna go on. It seems like the Lord won't quit talking about it, so I guess we'll stay there until he says to move, right? Is that the way that works?
Yeah, absolutely.
So about 6 weeks ago, every day, every morning in my prayer time, and I try not to just limit my prayer time to the mornings, but I absolutely, it's the first thing that I want to get into every day, seeking the kingdom above all else, seek first the kingdom. Mm. But every day in my prayer time, I will ask the Lord kind of toward the end of all the things that I've bore my heart with him on. I'll ask him, God, what do you want to do today? What are you saying? What are you up to today? And, you know, sometimes I'll hear something just immediately, and sometimes I'll have to sit and listen for a little while. And by the way, even, you know, I've learned even in our thought processes, and if we believe that word that I said earlier, that God is sovereign, that means he's all-powerful, he's in control, that nothing is going to happen that he doesn't know about or doesn't have a plan for, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
if we believe that, we've given our lives to him, we ought to act like we believe that.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, I've learned even in our thought processes, God is speaking to us while we're thinking, and, you know, the Spirit of God is moving in our thoughts. And I mean, again, he's sovereign, so he can handle that. And so I'll ask him every day, Lord, what do you want to do? And a lot of the times, sometimes that's a just for me answer, but most of the time it's a for everyone answer. I feel like, and I have a group, that's a growing group. It's getting to be, I'm going to have to figure out a different way. to kind of handle this, but that I send that message. I'll send just a word, that word of encouragement or whatever it may be that the Lord says. And it's usually always when God speaks is encouraging. Amen. So I'll send that out to this group. And if anyone is out there, any you guys here in the room, if you want to get that from me, go to our Facebook page. It's Community Connection Fellowship, and just shoot us a message, and I'll get that word of encouragement, that daily word, out to you through a messenger on Facebook if you'd like that. But so about 6 weeks ago, I asked the Lord that morning, on that Monday morning, God, what do you want to do today? What are you saying? And I heard so clearly in my spirit the Lord say, I'm changing the dynamic. Changing the dynamic. And, you know, immediately I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? And I'll tell you that the scripture that immediately came to mind was where God said, behold, I do a new thing. Shall it not happen? Will you not see it? And then the next thing that came to my mind, like I'm saying, God speaking in the thought process, was that the Lord said, I am the Lord and I change not. And so my immediate response to God was, what are you talking about? How are you going to change if you're doing a new thing, but behold, I'm the Lord and I change not. And God clearly said, I'm not changing my dynamic. I'm changing the dynamic of the church to get in on my dynamic. So I think for a long time, as I began to pray and seek the Lord on that and study, I think for such a long time, I mean, we'd all agree the church has an extremely powerful dynamic on the planet. Now, when you begin to look, and let's clarify, that word dynamic is energy, full of life and energy and the ability to change and bring progress. That is what dynamics do. They bring change. It is power to bring change, progress, and moving forward. God is changing the dynamic of his people on the planet. He wants to change the dynamic of his people on the planet today. And the church is full of dynamics. And when I do want to qualify that, because I don't want people thinking that I'm beating up on any denomination or any this church or that church. When I say the church, I include myself, my church, your church, all of us, the children of God, the people of God, you know. And so I'm involved in it as much as anybody else is. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. But I think, you know, it's pretty easy to see that some of the dynamics, the energies and powers of in our churches, there's a lot of good stuff, and there's some stuff that have brought us backwards, you know, in some areas and caused some problems and some issues and things. And I think God is just saying, I want to change that dynamic. And so the very first thing that that he took me to, just brought to mind over the next few days, was this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, that old Christmas passage, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, that we're all so familiar with, where it says that, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And so the very first two things here, this is the legacy of the kingdom dynamic that God wants to put into play. He began to speak so clearly about that he said, for unto us a child is given. This would be the Christ that would come. This was the beginning of God's changing the dynamic. This is the, behold, I do a new thing. Shall you not see it? Won't it happen? It will happen. And so he said, unto us a child is given. Now, when he says unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, the son, very specific here, this is not degrading toward women in any way, but it is a picture of this. It is the continuation of a family's legacy and business. The firstborn son was always given the birthright and blessing of the household. And so he's very specifically saying, this is my dynamic that I am injecting into the world. This is the dynamic of my kingdom, the power, the energy, the vitality, the ability to change everything. This is the dynamic that's coming. The son who is coming shall be my heritage and legacy on the planet. This is the power that I'm injecting. So God's saying, I'm changing the dynamic. So then what follows that is incredible. Now, I'm trying to get through 6 weeks of teaching in a limited amount of time, and we'll get there. We're going to get there. You know, I was joking with my people yesterday. I had them stand up. We were going to pray for something. I had them stand up, and I ended up talking for just before we ever got to the prayer. I said, you know, that's what preachers do, right? We talk and fill space, I guess. I don't know. But so what followed that, this son who would come, this injection of the dynamic of the kingdom. And this injection is so important because this son, this child, this living force of God would be injected into the lives of his people. We would receive the very seed and life of God. It would be the power to change the world. It would be the dynamic of the kingdom that would bring the progress and advancement of God's will and his heart and his mind, everything that he is on this planet. This is the change that God is bringing. And you say, well, yeah, we've received Jesus, so we've got the dynamic. Yeah, but there's a lot of things that come into play. Are we allowing that dynamic to work the way it's supposed to? Or are we keeping it on the shelf like an old, dirty, dusty book that we never read to see what's inside the pages? So this dynamic would be the acts and action tied to the word dynamic, the acts and action of who the King of Kings is. The acts of God are for us to know him. That's why we have them. They're not to teach us a lesson. They're not to straighten us out or line our rear ends out to get us in line. The acts that God works in, around, in the past, in the present, and in the future are so that we can know him. Moses prayed this prayer, Lord, show me your acts that I may know you. This is the injection of the kingdom dynamic. So what followed that little passage right there, unto us a child is born, a son is given. He goes on and he lists these five names, and the number five biblically is always symbolic of grace, which this morning when I asked the Lord, Lord, what is it you want to say today? What is it you want to do today? Very clearly, he said, where, and this is paraphrased for me, but he said, where everything against me abounds, my grace does much more abound. This is the injection of the dynamic of the kingdom. These five names of Jesus that are listed in Isaiah 9 here. And so he goes on and he says this, he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Within those five names are an incredible bombardment of the power of God released into the life of those who have been injected with the dynamic Son of the Kingdom, the King of the Kingdom. This word wonderful, and I don't have time to really just break down everything really good, but we can get the point across. And here's the thing. If you don't believe me, go check it out. Go read it, study it out, look at it. See, if I'm not telling you the truth, come find me and we'll get me straightened out. But this word wonderful in the Hebrew, you know, when we think of the word wonderful, there's a lot of things that come to mind, you know, but this word wonderful, it means the things that we think, but it also means so much more. When you get to the core of that word, it literally means that it is an astonishing, amazing act of intercession. Mm-hmm. It is a miracle of intercession that he would become. The root of the word there means literally someone who goes before one in authority on behalf of someone else. Wonderful. I mean, who would have thought wonderful meant that? So it's always a good thing to go deeper into your word studies to see, because the translation of the word that we have sometimes doesn't really carry over to the to its core root meaning. But so this wonderful, he was a miracle of astonishment and amazing intercession for his people is what wonderful means. Some translations of the Bible, they put no comma there. They put wonderful counselor. The King James actually has those separated with a comma. Mm. He is wonderful. He is our intercession. And, you know, the word says this in Romans 8:28, one of our big scriptures, that all things work together for the good of those, right? Right? Who are called according to his purpose, who love God and are called according to his purpose. Before that, it talks about the Holy Spirit interceding for us on our behalf. After that, it talks about Jesus interceding for us on our behalf. Hey, listen, it's no wonder that we've been talking this morning about the sovereignty of God. It's no wonder that God gets done what he wants to get done. We've got one on each side of us that's praying about our situation, and we're stuck in the middle trying to make up our own mind, make decisions that are getting in the way of what he's doing. But his sovereignty, because of that intercession, always comes through, always happens, always works out. He's an amazing God. This is the dynamic of the kingdom that we've been injected with. The sovereignty and power and love of our Savior that intercedes for us. The book of Hebrews says that he ever lives to intercede for us, that he's before the throne of God. When God looks at us, he sees us through Christ Jesus, holy and pure and sanctified. Thank him for being wonderful. He shall be called wonderful. That dynamic has been imparted to our lives. We ought to be intercessors for everyone around us. We ought to stand in the gap instead of speaking negative things about this person's lifestyle, that person's lifestyle. We ought to have the Christ in us, the hope of glory, shining, and intercede for those people. Because where everything that's against God abounds, his grace does much more abound. That's who we are. That's who he is in us. Let that wonderful happen through you. It's happening in him. We ought to let it happen through us. So then the next one, and I'm not even looking back at those notes. So we have wonderful, then counselor. Simple word, counselor. Advisor, the one who has all knowledge and wisdom and truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has he does not only have every answer, he is every answer to every problem we'll ever face. The word says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally in the book of James. He is our counselor. He is wisdom in every thought that we think. If we will give him our thoughts and our mind, if we will allow the injection of the King to do what it's here to do and not block it off, not wall it off. This is the dynamic of the kingdom. There is not a problem, not a thing before us, before you, anywhere in your life that he does not have the answer for. This is how good our God is. This is how sovereign he is in his dynamic power. And by the way, that word dynamic, biblically speaking, when the word says you shall be endued with power from on high, you know what that word is, where it's dynamos in the Greek, and that's where we get our word dynamite. When I say kingdom dynamic, I'm saying the explosive power of the King of Kings in our life. That's what's going on in these names of Jesus. This counselor who has every answer for every question and need and issue that will ever arise, this is how good God is. If we get there, if we don't get there, I'm going to finish this message next time. you may have to remind me of that, but this is how good our God is. He is not walking around his throne, pacing back and forth, scratching his head about what's going on this planet. That's not what he's doing. Matter of fact, John. In the book of Revelation, when he was given this great vision, the revelation of Jesus Christ, he went into the realm of heaven, and what did he see? And by the way, I got to say this, where is the realm of heaven? Jesus said this, the kingdom is within you. Mm-hmm. You know why? We've been injected with it. When we receive him, we've received these, who he is and these names. We've received the whole of the kingdom. God is enthroned here in our hearts, in our lives. John got to see that physically with his eyes. What was happening? There were four living creatures. There was 24 elders around the throne, and they were all worshiping, casting their crowns before the Lord. And this goes on and on and on for eternity. Our God is not pacing back and forth on the throne, figuring out what to do. As a matter of fact, he's being praised by all the heavenly hosts for what he is doing. In the first chapter of Revelation, John had the revelation and saw that Jesus was the king who reigned over all of the kings of the earth. And John was in a pretty bad situation there. He was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled, had nothing, barely could even get water, no food, no way to... I mean, he was in the worst place of his life. He had saw all of his friends murdered, martyred, done away with. He was exiled and banished to the Isle of Patmos by government. And yet his revelation was that Jesus Christ reigns over the kings of the earth. Even though they've put me here, he still reigns. And then he sees this incredible vision of worship and the power and the sovereignty of God going on and happening. God, in his answers to our life, has every one of them. This is how clear that is. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The issue that you and I will face this afternoon, or not face, whatever, God has already seen, provided, and knows and has the counsel and wisdom. So he is the wonderful interceding counselor who has all wisdom and direction for our lives. He is the mighty God, self-explanatory. We've talked about that plenty, plenty enough. He's sovereign. There is nothing above him. He is the great I am. Nothing can defeat him. Nothing can stand against him. All of creation will praise his name. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. The word peace, trying to move on to get to the gates of praise here, but the word peace, this is the simplest form of what peace means. All is well. Mm-hmm. Shalom. Mm-hmm. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He has made all things well, all things right. Peace is synonymous with prosperity, and that's not just finances. It's a full, rich, blessed life. All is well. You know, Paul said, I've learned in all situations, whether I'm on top of the world or at the bottom of the woodpile, to be content. Mm-hmm. He understood what that true peace was. He is the Prince of Peace, the captain of it, the commander of peace. That is alive in us. It's a dynamic that is within us that we are to release and allow. We're going to get to how these things become prominent and prevalent in our life. So he's the Prince of Peace. He's the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the everlasting Father. Jesus said, I will not leave you fatherless. I won't leave you as orphans. I'll send the Comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit to come to you. He wants us to be fathered. God, that is who God is at his core. That's what he's been up to since the beginning of this book to the end of this book and will be for eternity. If you know, Andy, I hope I get this all right here because I often get this backwards. But Andy Taylor, who's my pastor for 32 years, he says it this way, that if God wanted to be something other than a father, or if God, see, I got it backwards. If God didn't want a family, he would have called himself something other than father. That's how he says that. But that's who he is. That's what he's up to. He has the Father's heart. The word says that he has sent his Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I won't leave you fatherless. I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And then later on, the word says this. Paul said that he has sent his Spirit into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba literally is translated in our language, the closest word would be daddy. You know, father seems so formal, but daddy is, yeah. And so that he is a father. He wants to protect, to shepherd, to teach, to love, to encourage, to see us grow, to see our dreams come true. He's a good daddy. He is a perfect father. All of those five powerful dynamics of who Christ was said to be are alive in us. We've got to get those things working through us. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we received all of this into our lives, the injection of this great King, this Jesus, this Son, this legacy of God, this power, the very power and nature and life of who God is, the dynamic, the dunamos, the power, dynamite power of God into our life. When we receive that, it has become a treasure in an earthen vessel. It has become something that we're to give away. Everything God gives us, we're to give away. You can't outgive the King. When you give, more comes. You just can't outgive the King. So how do we get those dynamics working? How do we get those things moving? And I don't know when we need to break here, Neva. So
in the next few minutes, whenever's okay. A good stopping place.
Okay. So this is going to be the crossover halfway, halfway point. We'll set it up anyway. How do we get these things moving in our life? How do we get those things operable in our life? Because, you know, you can have macaroni on the shelf, and it can sit there for 6 years, and you never taste it and see that it's good if you don't ever get it out and put it in the pot. So how do we get these things, these dynamics, how do we get them off the shelf and get them moving and working in our lives? And so when we receive that, we become surrounded. Isaiah 60:18 says this, that your walls shall be called salvation. So, yeah, we've got the walls of salvation around us. But anytime there is a wall built around a city, that city being our life, there has to be a way to come and go, right?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a gate. So a gate in a walled city is the weakest link in the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're going to talk, the next portion of this, we're going to talk about getting the dynamics of the kingdom moving through the gates of praise.
Monica's got her 2 cents worth. It might be worth five.
Yeah. So, like we were talking, I just want to bring this to here.
Sure.
To now.
Sure.
What you're teaching today really ministers to me. Because my bonus daughter, who is in rehab, 3 hours away,
mm-hmm.
It was her weekend. I had to do some repenting. Tell God I'm sorry for throwing stones on her path, because she's in rehab 3 hours away, and it takes $120 just to go see her.
Mm-hmm.
She's got over 180 days clean now, and she gets weekend passes every hour. That's $240. I told Kaylin, I said, baby, I can't afford it. However, if you come up with the money, I'll be happy to do the time, the driving.
Mm-hmm.
And she contacts me and says, I'm coming home. And I'm like, wait a minute. If you don't have the money, don't leave. That baby left. She got her rocket. She ended up in Oklahoma City with $30.
Is your mic on?
Yes, ma'am. Her mom just happened to be in the city to give her a ride to my house.
Mm-hmm.
By the time she got to my house, she had $75. When she got to my house, she contacted a friend that is clean also now. He donated $50.
Mm-hmm.
That baby to Jesus, and here I am throwing stones on her path as she's walking by faith.
Mm-hmm.
I am just so heartbroken that I did that. But God is so merciful.
Mm-hmm. So I would literally say to you, just like God said to me, where everything that's against me, and the word says where sin does abound, sin, such a dirty word, mm-hmm. sin, really all it is it's everything that's not of faith. Mm-hmm. That's what the word says, that sin is everything that's not of faith. All it means is this: everything that's not of God, everything that's not of God is sin. So where everything that is not of God abounds, God says, my grace does much more abound. Nothing can defeat him. His grace will abound in all things. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God is good.
Not only did we have the gas money, but we were able to stop at McDonald's and get dinner before she went back.
Awesome. Well, something you said a while ago, Jason, about the macaroni could be sitting on the shelf, but if you don't do something with it, it just sits there. That just struck a chord with me, because I plug in my curling brush or iron every day. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I forget to turn it on. And when I then remember to turn it on, the Lord drops in my spirit. That is the way we are so many times. You're plugged in. If you die, you're going to heaven. But guess what? You don't have the power, even though you're plugged into the power, unless you release it, or unless you take advantage of it, or unless you flip the switch.
It's not living. Uh-huh. It's not living. It's not the life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life to the max.
That's right.
That life to the max is the dynamite power of the kingdom. That's not living while we're here. It's,
right.
I mean, I'm guilty of it. I do it too every day.
Right. Well, we are going to pause now for some prayer requests.